Welcome to the It's All Fine and Dangy podcast, where hosts Dan and Angie talk with creatives, small business owners, charities, and all kinds of interesting people. It's all real talk. It's all fine and dangy.
Hello, everybody. I don't know what that kind of hello was. Hello.
Well, I always do the Mrs. Doubtfire every time.
I got tongue-tied right there. But welcome. If you are a first-time listener, thank you so much for tuning in and checking us out and see what we're doing in the community. And if you've been listening for a long time, we appreciate you so very much and for the continued support. So thank you for tuning in.
And you're probably from Florida if you've been listening for a long time.
You are probably from Florida, but that's okay. Hey, a lot of people from Florida moved to North Carolina or vacation here.
Oh, we did.
Vice versa.
We did both of those things, actually.
Yes, we did.
We vacationed here a bunch of times before we moved here. So,
well, we're so happy that we have another guest in our studio.
Yes,
we're like back-to-backs this week, buddy.
I love it.
And I'm telling you, you can't have a podcast in Asheville without having restaurants on. Or artist on.
Very true.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you.
We haven't had any restaurants, but we have some lined up.
We've been to 1,000, but yeah, we do have some lined up. But, one of the things that we always talked about with Asheville in this area is art. There's art districts, there's artists everywhere. Mm-hmm. So we are incredibly excited to have an artist in studio today with us. We're sitting with Glenn Casey from Super Wet Paint, which is the coolest name. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Did we say the last name right?
It is Case.
Oh, it's Case.
Just Case.
Glenn Case. Yeah. Okay.
You gave him a fancy last name.
Glenn Case sounds like a private detective or something.
That works.
But Glenn, you're an artist who creates handcrafted murals, signs, outdoor advertisements, and a whole lot of other stuff based on what we saw on your social media. So we're excited to talk to you about how you got started and what you do and all that jazz.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That sounds like me.
Yeah.
That is. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Were you naturally an artist when you were younger? Like, how do we get into being a muralist as a career, basically, as a career choice?
And let's just be clear, muralist, for those of you that may not be aware, is massive pieces of art, like a building painted with art, not just painted a color. It's really impressive stuff.
Well, thanks so much. That sounds... I sound impressive, but I do those things. early days, bored out of my mind and imagining what I could do in life and find myself doodling on anything I could.
It's relatable.
Well off the page, so.
You needed bigger. You need bigger canvas.
Exactly. My first handwriting class, I ended up... filling the whole page with just one letter, so that might tell me something right
there. That.
So I started big right off the bat. My whole class was confused. What the heck was I doing there? Filling each page with one letter, but that's what I do for a living now.
I'm a wannabe artist as it relates to painting and drawing, but drawing and painting and all that big, you have to have like a... The capacity to understand what it's going to look
scale
like when you're there. It's crazy to me that you can do that.
Well, how do you envision, obviously you've been doing that kind of since you were younger, right?
Right.
I guess it just kind of came naturally, really.
It's a blessing and a curse. everywhere I go, I end up staring, like I said, at buildings or walls and envisioning illustrations or imagery and... imagining if it could be possible. And I love a challenge. So I've found myself hanging off multi-story buildings in downtowns, Denver, Seattle, San Francisco.
Wow.
And making those dreams come true.
You've done art all over the place. You mentioned Seattle. One of the things that we'd read is you painted all the album cover artwork for Easy Street Records in Seattle.
Yeah, that was my... good
back
gig
when
there.
That was like how you advertised.
It was quite the promotion for all the new albums coming out for all the up and comings and established bands.
You have to paint like the album cover or just
usually
Or
a takeoff that could be some kind of celebration like a festival or a local event, but often it would be just pure album covers, like reimagined onto buildings.
So you're taking the album cover artwork and having to scale it up and and kind of tweak it to be your own or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then also getting the label's blessing. So that could be, you know, the test there to, you know, before you get paid, you know, you got to make sure it's
okay.
Passes.
Like so it. You don't have, they go, no, paint over it, do it again. Well,
basically.
Wow.
There goes my paycheck. Then you spend double the time doing it if they make you do something like that.
So not to get too technical, but I'm just super curious. When you're painting something that big, do you have to like sketch it out first?
On the building, yeah. I do use chalk. Just if it was a dark color building, I'll put a dark color base coat and then use a lighter colored chalk. And then that way I can, I need to get back preferably a block or two and look at it. Oh, and then I can sort of see what I'm doing and get back closer and erase, redraw.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like, just like I said, somebody who kind of does some art, but just thinking about how you normally sketch out like a little bit of the spacing of the art on a piece of paper and then just kind of look at it for a minute. The idea that you're going like two blocks away and then looking at it.
So I'm thinking, Glenn, this is like your exercise. This is how you keep fit, right? Because you got to go up and down and back.
You wouldn't believe how much work it is.
And plus climbing physically. You can't go, you know, like when you're doing it on a piece of paper where you're like, oh, I'll just, let me erase that and fix that little thing. You got to climb down, over. Yeah.
Then remember where you got to go back.
That's just the art side of it. You know, when we're setting up stages to swing off of buildings, that's a whole nother story.
Oh, my gosh.
You got to like, carrying like counterweight to the rooftops and, you know, hundreds of pounds of metal.
Oh, that's true. Because you're going, you're painting things that are so high up that you're having to go off the top versus up from the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's almost like you rappel down.
Yeah. Well, similar. Yeah. We, we'll set up an aluminum structure on top of a roof and then literally just haul it off the side of the building and make sure everything's set up right.
So you must be a little bit of a daredevil. That sounds scary as hell.
I mean, you can't be afraid of heights doing this.
Oh, no.
No, no, no.
Because you'd be too distracted by that fear to be able to do the painting.
No, there's no way.
This is how mine would look.
But you get some good views, I'll tell you that.
Oh, cool. Bad. So I have a question because you were saying that sometimes you just stand back and you'll look at the side of a building or a wall and you're kind of envisioning it.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not a company that has hired you to do anything, do you kind of come up with an idea in your head and then go propose it to them?
I do. That's a bit of a sport of mine. You know,
challenging yourself, trying to sell it to people, right?
I know that it's a great idea, but the, you know, doesn't mean the building owner you know, wall owner is going to think it's a good idea. So it's trying to find a balance of art and commerce, you know, that's really the trick. You know, you need to frame things to where a business or building owner agrees that there's a benefit to them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Is it like, do they usually want to see like a sketch of what your idea is?
Definitely,
Yeah, not just, here, take these paintbrushes and go brush away on my wall.
That'd be nice.
Well, you know, I think about this like my tattoo artist where he would prefer you to just let him take off and do whatever he wants. He would say that's the most fun thing to do. Right. It seems like you're kind of saying that too.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Because but if you, you know, I'm like Angie says, you know, the client is going to guide, you know, tell you what they want. If you're, because I was looking through some of the art on your Instagram, and for those of you watching on YouTube, we'll throw some of that up on screen, but you have such a huge variety of art styles. I mean, just every conceivable style you can think of and color palette.
I know, usually you can like look through somebody's art and be like, oh, this is the same person.
Right. Right, right.
I'm sure if I looked long enough, I could find you in each one of those, but it's definitely so different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe because you're designing for different clients and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And that is kind of where, you know, it's leading you in a different kind of style. But anywhere from huge letters to abstract looking pieces. I mean, I was showing Dan and he's like, oh my gosh.
Oh, to like beach scenes, to floral stuff, to just text, but done into these really cool different styles. And I just wondered as I was looking through this, this is, I guess, a combination of you talking to the client and then say, do they kind of tell you what style to go for usually?
If I am working with a design client that's been hired by a company, they'll have a real direct, you know, vision. Sometimes even up already designed to where I basically need to just replicate it as art from a page. But yeah, it's all over the board from my original work to some mix and hybrid of in my sketching and the working with a client to just like if I'm doing a logo, for example, that'll usually be directly via a design firm or agency.
Yeah.
And I just need to make sure it looks crisp and clean, photo worthy.
Yeah. And that's the thing, though. Not everybody can just draw a letter, paint a letter on a wall and make it look good. You
without
know what
it
I mean?
Being like disproportionate. Yeah, I was looking at some of the
these stand out and, you know, three dimensional and, you know, old looking, comic book looking. Like there's so many different, you know, feels to each of the different
styles.
Styles.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm glad you're getting that. That's my goal.
Is
to be able to do anything I'm asked to do or want. If I just imagine the goal being spin the dial, what's the style, and there I have to do it.
I like that.
So, I'm assuming, how long have you been doing this?
Oh, man, how long have I been doing this? I like to just say since 2000, let's say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The reason I ask is because I can't help but think maybe because you've been doing it so long and you're such a professional at it, it's not really that big of a deal now. But I would think some of these times you show up and it's a massive thing and it's a complex thing and they have a very specific vision. It seems it'd be a bit stressful because you have to nail it, especially if they don't want you to be as creative as you might want to be, right?
Oh, for sure. It's a real job. And, you know, that's where the job comes into play. You might, you know, people might see what I do and just imagine it's just fun and creative and, you know, sure there's that, but it is definitely making sure a lot of things are done right. So I have to get paid at the end of the day for all the work, and that I don't get paid if it's a bad rendering of what someone wants.
I was gonna say, is there like a process that you go through with a client of like check-ins to make sure kind of everything's lining up the way that they're envisioning it?
That's a good question. So they don't show up at the end and they're like, that's not what I meant.
There's usually some type, you know, check-ins or they definitely stay on top of it, especially if it's a brand or, you know, an advertising campaign. So they need to make sure it's right.
Of course. So, and, you know, I said, I think at the beginning that you've traveled all over the country, but you've traveled all over the world doing this, right?
I have.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's been interesting.
So where could people see some of your work if they were traveling abroad?
He's like, well, where do I start?
It's been a little while.
Let's see. 56th Street down in the center to the left, Angie.
you could hit up Spoleto in Italy. A little town. Cafe there. I did some sign work for their cafe. But
how does one get that job? Is it just like through an agent, or you just happen to run into the right person for that?
That was just a happening. Which is always fun. I do. I'm part of it is getting out there and just talking to people. And like you mentioned, if I have a sense of someone could need something, I don't hesitate to just go right up to them. I mean, what can I lose?
Of course.
That's networking. You know what I mean? Because some people are not going to ever think that, I want to do a mural. But if it's brought to their attention that, you know, and especially how you can explain it, letting them know that art brings foot traffic, it makes an area look more invitable to come into, a little more maybe upscale or classy almost, you know, where people are like, if they're investing in their building like this must be like
that's
a cool place to hang out, right?
That's the message to firstly the business owner or building owner, and that's what I say, because there's so many times where I've worked on a business building and you know, I'll have people coming into the building that would say, you know, I didn't even know this was a place, you know, until
they didn't even know it was a real business.
Yeah, until we saw you doing this, and now we're like actually curious and interested, and you know, so it's just real proof of concept, and it works because, yeah, like you said, it shows that someone cares to put something into the community for everyone to enjoy,
and I think it speaks to me. because you know those these big pieces like this are not inexpensive. So someone's really invested is the one piece. And even, I know, Angie, you were kind of alluding to like pre-social media, pre-internet days, but I say still, when you see like a big mural painted somewhere, it gets your attention way more than a regular billboard or an internet ad
neon
or anything
sign
like that.
Or anything like that. Yeah.
So that's really cool. So are you envisioning the future where we've got this gigantic studio somewhere with our logo painted on the side?
Logo,
Glenn?
Glenn's going to paint our logo.
Paint on anything.
So we talked a little bit, you know, before we started recording, and we try not to chat too much and ruin the interview, but
we know everything about you. We can't talk anymore.
We can't even talk now. But we wanted to find out, like, what brought you to Asheville? I know a little bit now about it, but maybe just for our listeners, tell us how, you know, how you ended up here.
Well, everyone's moving here, I hear.
That's what I hear, too. Are you from Florida? That's what they always ask.
No, it's great to be back. My family is all from the area, and I've been the black sheep who's, you know, been all around the world a few laps, and missing birthdays and everything else. So, it's just time to get back and try to, like, you know, get back to the roots of my life here and try to contribute and get busy. You know, I'm excited to be back.
Yeah. Oh, and how long have you been back in the area?
Let's say 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Literally still unpacking.
Wow.
You know what that speaks to Asheville though, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been all over the world and you came back to Asheville. So that's, to me, that speaks to the value of this place for sure.
Yeah.
That's the Paris of the South.
Well, is that what they call it?
Definitely.
Yeah, that is funny. Oh my gosh. But that is one of the things too about walking in downtown Asheville and all the little different, I want to say, districts that we're learning, right? Yeah. You have all your little different streets.
Yeah.
I just literally discovered Haywood Street the other day. Uh-huh. And I'm like, what is that? Why haven't I been down this road yet?
Wait, what is this?
That's the one I told you.
I know where Haywood Commons is. Is this like a...
No, well, this is like, I don't know. This is a different direction than that normally, but there is buildings like very artsy, murals everywhere.
It runs straight down to the River Arts District.
Oh, okay.
It is so cool.
We've been down there together.
And it's walkable. You know what I mean? Like you can park at one end and you could walk. And that's what I said. That's the street I was telling you. I have to take you there.
Oh, that's where you wanted to.
Because we can take the dogs there, walk down, and you can go from store to store.
Right.
And that's what we're about is the small business. And that's how you meet people is you go in and, you know.
Yeah.
Because the cold call sucks. I want to meet people. That's how we got you on. This is how we had to start, okay? This is how we started in the beginning in Florida, too. We just had to cold call people.
Yeah. Nice. Be like, I love it.
Here's our idea. Come on, come and take a chance with us on the show, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the way to do it.
Well, Angie just reminded me, like, when we were on vacation, we've been coming here for vacation for years, you know, waiting for the kids to grow up and move out so we could move up here, but...
they did it. Thanks, kids.
But I remember going through the Arts District and the River Arts District and going through some of those studios, and you can see people, you know, live painting a thing. And I just sort of dawned on me as you're describing it that that's sort of the challenge with these giant pieces, because that's a like you can't go in and, I mean, do you ever do like smaller stuff?
I actually love to do that.
Nice.
Anything from cut out work to canvas to, a lot of things.
I've seen some of the stuff you do, like creating signs on metal, like corrugated metal and stuff, and that's really cool looking.
Well, I see.
Because you make it look vintage looking, and it looks like it's a real old sign that you picked out of the... picked out of the antique place or something, you know?
So on your Instagram, I was looking at some of that too, where you've done like the totem pole, the tiki god sign stuff. And I guess I thought these might be pieces to like a bigger thing you're working on, but you, so you do, you'll get commissioned to do just art from every shape and size.
Yeah, through the all the travels and the people I meet, just I'll have all the most random requests for anything imaginable, you know, from pool bottoms to boat, building roofs. I've painted just about anything, but
pool bottoms. I never thought about that too.
You could have something really cool down there if you have somebody that's creative enough to come up with a shark.
Water's usually transparent.
Yeah, a shark would be great.
Yeah.
An alligator.
There you go.
That's how you break the people in Florida.
Now, you how do people find you for that? Like you through your website or
the the website works if you have if you want to go to that. I often just get messages through Instagram. It's quick and easy.
Yeah. Wow.
Direct message.
That's kind of perfect because your portfolio is sitting there and that's what people are looking at.
There it is.
Yeah.
And just message me and I'm trying to get that right back to people.
So this, because obviously you want to do some more of your own kind of creative stuff. So that's why the smaller pieces kind of come into play. Mm-hmm. Do you set up at art shows and stuff like that? I mean, we know so many artists that they do that and travel all over the world doing that. Have you done that?
I have. It's harder to do as a traveling artist, but, more when I'm based somewhere, like when I lived in Seattle for years and years, I did do fairly regularly. I'd have a gallery or a little group show. And it's fun because you're really part of a group of artists and, you know, sell a piece here and there just as a nice little bonus.
Sure. And you have I suppose when you're in the same spot long enough, you have enough stuff with you that you've created.
Oh yeah.
You're not traveling around carrying stuff every time.
But there are people that do. And it's like one of the artists I like, Art by Ty.
Yep.
Ty. I know he travels all over, but you're bringing all that stuff every time you come. Yeah.
Right. But that's what he does. Yeah. I was just thinking like Glenn, if he's hired to or commissioned to go to three states away or a country or two away, he's not going to bring his art and go do an art show there. That's the difference, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, commission work. I spend at least a day once I get settled just gathering supplies and paint and preparing all that, usually 2 days sometimes. So, yeah, you have to get there. And I found out quickly that airlines don't appreciate you bringing paint on board.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm sure. I didn't even think of that, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, driving, that works too.
So. Oh, my gosh.
Or you have to probably ship it sometimes too, don't you?
Yeah.
Ship it ahead of you.
Yeah. Especially if it's a specialty situation. Sometimes you have a application, you need your special tools and whatever you're doing. So.
And I don't even think about stuff like that. I'm like, just go to the Home Depot or the art supply store and get what you need. But you have your special brushes that you like and special tools.
Yeah.
Do you normally, is it, stupid question. I probably said
no, there are no stupid questions.
Is it only paint that you paint? Is it only paint that you paint with? Angie, seriously, get it together.
No, it's all right. No, actually,
but like spray paint or chalk or like,
there's so many.
Chalk would rinse off. So that might be like a temporary thing that you would do someplace. But you see people with spray paints or wondering what different mediums are out there basically.
Well, you should see our mural artist kits are filled with things you would never expect. So it's
real, like
balls
what,
of string
though?
And tacks. And,
for texture and stuff?
It's more like a lot of layout tools where you need to, if you need a giant circle, you'll use sometimes you'll use fishing line and a tack.
So it
pulls. You do like the like old fashioned.
Yeah.
Like a compass.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So,
every job just depends on what the material of the built wall is and what preparation it'll need. You know? So I'm well versed in every type of building preparation, even if it has holes in it from 100 years of weather.
Yeah, because like you can't just paint on a concrete wall. It has to be sealed or something like that.
If you want it to last or look
right.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and what I do want my work to last, you know. So right now I have someone in California needing me to come back from, I think 10 years ago, now it's starting to fade. So it's like, you know, need to get back. And
I was going
to
ask that, like, how long before you have to touch up? Or I would say if a hailstorm hits or something, you know.
I try to make sure that things are going to last at least 15 years, especially if they're, a lot of detail and color involved.
Yeah.
You know,
well, 10 years baking in the California sun, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
For it to come back. I've noticed, too, you've done work on vehicles and just on all kinds of things. It's such a wide variety.
I wonder if you've broke. So we actually own we own a home in Florida. Mm-hmm. It's an Airbnb. So we turned it into an Airbnb so we can still go back and forth. Plus, we have such a low interest rate on that house. We can't give it up. You know what I mean? You got to keep it. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know? But I've noticed a lot of Airbnb owners are adding murals to their houses.
Yeah. Okay.
So this might be a new avenue for you.
Yeah.
Because what they'll do is they'll add an accent wall outside, inside or outside for that pop of color for a photo op.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh,
my That's gosh. What we just did to ours. We just added three mm-hmm. accent walls just mm-hmm. for some color yeah. in the house, oh, you yeah. know?
We
but
should
it's
connect,
a big thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know where you're going. We should connect Glenn with our... We have a co-host that we use, mm-hmm. And her properties, a lot of them on the outside, one side of the house has like a mural painted. The whole oh, house
cool.
is painted.
Yeah.
And it's like
yeah.
Florida themes, you oh, know, nice. The waves and the oh, sun or whatever. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love the Florida... Well, topography or the nature and the animals there is yeah. really inspiring.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, like, for sure. You know. So you spent some time living in Florida too, right?
Oh, well, my girlfriend is from there. So, yeah, I'm there off and on.
In what area are you guys from?
On the Gulf side up in central. So that'd be like Lakeland.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very nice. So,
yeah.
Very nice.
It's like cute little area. Oh, yep. Just south of Tampa.
Lakeland is has little industrial, mm-hmm. you know, areas yeah. there. That's where one of my companies used to have like their kitchen there, where mm-hmm. they would prep all the food and mm-hmm. then bring it to the.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, Fit Life Foods.
Yeah,
yep.
Very nice.
So yeah, been to Lakeland right. many times all to right. visit. That I think yeah. they have an Amazon building
Shipping.
Out there. They've yeah. you know all the like kind of industrial stuff, but they. Yeah. I think Lakeland is where they have a really cool bike trail too mm. that we never went to, and we had it on our list.
Mm. Oh, with art on the bike trail.
No, oh. it was no. That's down by us.
I was
going to
say in yeah. Florida, mm. there's a fence that has.
Yes. I'm not, awesome. I always, it's Seminole County.
Mm-hmm. I know this is a ridiculous concept, but we're talking, and you're like, "Oh, I spent some time in Florida." I have mm-hmm. artist friends in Florida that mm-hmm. you know are homegrown there, been there mm-hmm. for. But I always wonder, how close is the art community? Do you guys know each other? Mm-hmm. You know, we spoke to Joe from Golden Goat
uh-huh.
earlier in the week, mm-hmm. and he knew someone that mm-hmm. we knew in Florida. So
yeah.
I don't know.
That's cool.
I don't know if you're, what came to mind is Norman Goodwin as mm-hmm. a guy I went to high school with, and he does not quite the type of art you do, but he mm-hmm. does different finishes and houses and mm-hmm. all over
yeah,
Florida.
Yeah, like custom paint.
Well, yeah.
yeah.
But it just, you know, not being in that community, sometimes you picture like the art there. Bar everybody goes to, and it's like all the artists are there. Hey, what's up, Bob? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so you're always hoping somebody goes, oh, I know him. But, you know, it's not yeah. to be.
But, it's funny you mentioned that finishes because one of my my side job is that type of work. So,
that's the high-end houses
yeah,
that have that
film,
in there.
Film work. We could talk about that another time, but yeah.
Oh,
oh.
Well, that's funny because Norman's the same way. Like his mm-hmm. passion is the really creative paintings mm-hmm. and drawings and sketching. And then on Facebook or Instagram, he'll post some elaborate mm-hmm. stair rail that he's been right. working on in somebody's house that is, to me, like super crazy impressive. Mm-hmm. To him, it's probably a little more boring because
yeah.
he didn't get to, and you can probably relate.
Monotonous.
Yeah, exactly. It's not art, but you know.
But it really requires a meticulous set of skills where, you know, Joe average painter could go in there and screw it up pretty quick.
I even saw some of the like ombre walls mm-hmm. that you've created.
Yes.
And to me, that mm-hmm. is hard.
Like, yeah, it is actually.
Especially
is
massive
not,
like that.
Yeah, to be. Look, mm-hmm. if I did an ombre wall, this is what mm-hmm. it would look like. Red, orange, and there'd be these stripes in between it, you know?
That's
I mean, I'm not an artist, but that was very impressive to me because the blending of colors, and you need to know how colors blend. Mm-hmm. You need to know the rules of art, I guess.
Well, it's also that's...
Or color, is it color theory?
Yeah, I think it is color theory.
Okay. Okay.
But I mean, we have the artist here. He'll tell you. I don't know.
I don't know.
But, you know, to speak of like that ombre thing, I saw that one on your Instagram too. And to mm-hmm. me, it's almost like sometimes those more high-end looking hotels, they want something more subtle. They want it artsy, but they don't.
Yeah.
They're not going to let you paint like a big flower or something on the side. So you got to do.
Well,
you got to be able to.
I agree.
I agree too. But you have to be able to, you know, to please whichever type of client you have. So
keep it classy and clean for a lot of people. But then, sometimes people get more fun and want more of a picture, or, you know, an illustration style. So that's always exciting, I think.
So I'm just curious, like, you know, let's say like this wall behind us, right? How long would something like that take you to finish if you did like the whole entire thing covered with some
we're
type
not,
of...
We're not going to commission you. We're renting.
I mean, we're renting.
This is hypothetical.
Like, I'm just hypothetical. Like you know, a little side wall of a, you know, outside of a building or something. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, like, the time that it takes for something like that.
this wall is very porous, so we'd start priming it and getting it prepped. So that's going to take a day at least.
Yep. So all the art didn't just disappear right into it.
Exactly.
Just keep soaking in.
Yeah. You want it to look bold and beautiful. So give it a nice, let it dry. You know, 3 days. Could do something nice with this.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh,
that's cool.
Got to bust it out.
Yeah.
You can just hang out in your house.
Yeah. You're like, all week. All these hours. I'm getting paid less and less by the hour here, buddy. I need to be cranking this out.
You guys will want me out. Smells like paint.
Get it out of here.
We certainly cannot relate on the level of artistic ability you have, but we can relate on the amount of home renovation stuff that we have done in our day. So,
I feel that.
Guess who hates painting? I do.
We even moved in here and painted a room. She let us paint a room in here. I'm like, we're painting again. How can you be painting when you rented?
I can't even believe I did it. I'm like, I said I never was going to do this again. Here I am. Yeah. Dang it, man. I don't like it.
You know, you talk about how sometimes you can be a little more creative. Sometimes you have to follow what the client wants. Do you find that it's typically more one way than the other? Or is it totally all over the place? If you're commissioned to go to another state, say, or even another country, do you know ahead of time how much creative
freedom?
Yeah. Freedom. Thank you.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I usually get a good sense. We have extensive conversations, emailing before actually traveling. So yeah, I have a good idea for sure. And once I do have a bit of structure about that, I can start to make a plan or a strategy of how to achieve really the final finish look. Because I do strategize and take it step by step. It probably doesn't seem like that's how it is if you watch an artist work, but it really is breaking all the problems down and figuring them out ahead of time. You're not going to start painting and then not know what you're doing and then stare at the wall for a couple hours and try to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? Or the image is now hanging off the edge.
That's not how you make money as an artist. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of preparation.
I think I'll be here 3 months and I'll charge you the price of 3 days because I just want it to be perfect. No.
Long ago, I put myself aside to, work towards the specific goal of a project. I'm not trying to, prove something artistically on these, a lot of these jobs. Those are separate. That's why I try to do my studio work and enjoy my own process for myself.
But, of course,
treat the job, it's a job that needs to be done right.
Well, that's how you get repeat customers and repeat work, too.
That's right.
Because you could be talented and disorganized mess, wouldn't work.
Nope.
I'm just thinking, so when you, let's say you're commissioned to go do a big piece on a building and you got to travel a bit and I would almost think like when you're not really given much creative freedom and they want it to look an exact way, you probably have a little less planning there because you have to go do it as a template almost like they want, maybe in a little bit of a different style. But when you have the opportunity to express creative freedom, you still do all that up front, like what you do you do any of it? I guess I was just picturing if they're saying, come do my logo and then you can do whatever you want around it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do that before you go?
I get a sense of things for myself, at least a framework, size and dimensions of things of the building. And then I can start to imagine things like sketches in my mind and what might work. And then I'll allow myself some exploration,
on site
in the process. At the job. But those are super fun when there is a real specific goal that needs to be done, and I'll get that done first and get it looking good, and then, and then I can, whatever time I have left, I can have fun around it, like you said.
Yeah, that's cool. Then you've won their trust too because they see what you've done.
Yeah,
and they're like, okay, well, wow, go ahead.
You spelled my name right.
Exactly. But you still got to make sure you got enough paint and everything too. But I always wonder, I know this is me on the outside of it, but whenever I see those big wall pieces in like some restaurants or on the outside of a building, I always wonder, did somebody just go for it? Whatever you think you want to do,
And that would be nice, but
not usually.
So everybody listening, Like, give your artists more freedom to really like show what they can do. Yeah. Like, seriously.
You know, I don't know. One of the things I wanted to ask you is where we might be able to see some of your work around here. Like, do you have you had a chance to do much in Asheville yet?
No, I haven't. I've just gone back. I'm still literally unpacking. But soon enough.
We got to get that name out here.
I was just on Haywood today, actually.
Oh, nice.
I'm prepping some work for there soon, but I don't want to say much about that.
Okay, well, keep in touch with us because we'd love to go out and take video and pictures of it and see it ourselves too. That'd be really cool.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're going to have a lack of, unless there's just a lot of competition around here. I don't know kind of what the competition is as far as muralist. I mean, there are a lot of murals.
There are.
It also seems like,
but there's a lot of surfaces to cover too. So
endless.
I don't want to speak for the artistic community, but in my experience with most art communities, they're all so very supportive of each other. So it's not like, stay away from my murals, you know. It's like,
it's healthy competition. You know what I mean? If anything, it's not. It's not, I've never ran across that in any type of creative
personality or role.
It's never been like, oh, you don't want to go over to that tent. You know what I mean? Because his shit is really weird, you know? Like, it's because everybody has a different style that they are gravitating towards anyway. Mine's very eclectic, right? I go from like very dark looking stuff.
That's the stuff I like, the dark stuff.
Yeah, but then I see something very weird and abstract, you know, or something that's super colorful and fun. I have octopuses up there. No, squids.
Is it octopi?
No, we met an artist who took, he takes the actual fish and does like an imprint of them. We'll have to show it to you before you leave.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
And it is... He explained the whole process of how he does it, and I just was so interested. But I was drawn to this picture of squid, and I'm like, I really need that in my house.
it's a very aquatic vibe. Like, all of his stuff would be...
Yeah, and we're not beachy, or we've never had, like, a beachy vibe in our house or something. It was just maybe it was the coloring of it or something. But anyway, I really like it. Still in my house.
And, of course, my brain, I notice patterns and everything. I do have the artist mind for that kind of stuff. I see faces all over the place and patterns all over the place, and... You know, I do notice the blend of digital and analog now. A lot of the time an artist will do, like this artist, he has taken these prints of these squids, and then in Photoshop, he's gone and flipped them and changed colors and added a little bit of a gradient.
That's right. You did notice that.
Because I'll notice this one is just that one reversed with part of it missing. You know, my brain does that. But it's I love how people are able to kind of mix the two together because... As someone who, like I said, kind of wants to sort of paint or draw, but I would do it all like on an iPad with an Apple Pencil, I feel like it's definitely different and maybe a lot of an easier entry point for someone that's not doing it as a business. You know, if you're even learning how to really paint with real paint, there's a lot more investment. It's a lot more versus just picking up your iPad and watching Bob Ross on YouTube or something. You know,
have you done any of the playing graphic around with like the iPad when you can do the layers and stuff. It's really cool though.
I use Procreate.
Because you can just go.
Oh, I love Procreate. That's the one I use. Yeah. I love that.
It's super easy. So,
when he's like, look, you just take all these layers and you can take them away. But you have to be able to see what the, to me, you guys have the vision where you can see, okay, this is what it's going to look like when I add this shading here or whatever.
I always think I'm a wizard until I see, I meet people that are real artists like you that use it. And I'm like, oh, all right.
That's how you do
it. I'm definitely not a computer graphics guy. But I know what you mean. Every time I see someone like does that on their computer, it's like
that where they can add light, like true to life lighting from with a digital photo to me blows me away, you know, the that kind of stuff. But we're excited to see some of your stuff. You know, I knew you had been here before, really. I knew you probably hadn't done anything in the 2 weeks that you've been here.
No, not yet.
I thought you said 3 days. It takes.
Come on, buddy. Get to it. I mean, I don't understand what's taking you so long. So what are like, as far as the businesses that you're looking for, is that just all over the place? Or do you have certain clientele that you kind of have in mind that you want to, you know, approach or want to, you know, kind of give like a little shout out. Hey, if you're looking for this, right. I'm your guy.
Yeah. Well, if you have, you've got a big warehouse on the by the side of the highway, the bigger the wall, the better. You know, so everywhere I go, I doubt every
mirrorless says that. You know, oh, the bigger.
The bigger, the better. You started to say you see places. Are you envisioning sort of, oh, I could put something there. Oh, that'd be great there.
For sure. I mean, if imagine you're just driving across a boring landscape and just the same constant looking places, you know, you want something interesting and or something that speaks of a place, you know, where, you know, you want to tie an imagery to where you are, you know?
Yeah. And as consumers, I'm telling you, when we see that kind of stuff, we're like, ooh, I wonder what that place is. Can you tell what that is from here? Oh, it just sort of draws you in.
And you'll mention it to somebody and they'll be like, oh yeah, that's this place. So
easy to recognize too.
Yeah, because it's imprinted in your mind once you drive by something like that, where it's like,
I think a great idea is to take, you know, an old barn that's got a side facing a highway or the road and paint just a historical story there. Even just a portrait of some local person that's been, you know, important.
Influential or something in the...
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
And it can also be in a vintage style. It doesn't have to be you know, like super bold, bright, crazy colors. It just can just blend into the...
Yeah, you know, I think that is like a great thing for small towns and stuff, right? Like sometimes you get your, you know, abandoned buildings.
I love those, by the way. There's something so charming about the old abandoned buildings or the old barns or the silos.
Old churches that, you know, they've moved, outgrown, and now it's just sitting there.
Oh my God, churches are the perfect place.
Yeah.
You just need a little splash.
What a great way to tell the story of your town, right? Like the beginnings, the, you know, who stood out in the community. And wouldn't that really make an impression on people as they're driving through a town, as opposed to seeing all these, because as soon as you see all these empty buildings, you're thinking, this
dilapidated,
this is scary. This is scary. I don't want to be here. Well, there's no, you know, there's no life in this community. How much that would bring life back to the community.
What is this story being told here?
You
know, is this neglect and forgotten place, or is this a place that cares to actually send a message
and to learn the history? You know, people are much less likely to say, hey, this is a cool little town, let's go to the library and learn about it. Seriously,
exactly.
Having some of that, you know, right there in an artistically pleasing way would be a cool idea. Very cool.
And let's add an extra thing for these small towns listening. Okay. You could even put, you know, add that with technology and get a QR code painted on the side or added so that people can scan, find out about the artist and find out more about the history.
What a cool
of
way
the town.
To learn.
Yeah. But you'd have
them
hooked.
Let's get this going, guys. Come on.
You get them snagged by the mural and then the image. For more info. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I have painted QR codes. It's interesting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's interesting because you wonder if it's going to work. Yeah, because this is like, wait, I'm just using paint on a wall. But then, you know, you got to get the grid perfect. You got to get the little, you know, pixels right. And then it ends up working.
Wow. So do you do that with, I mean, just by looking at it and drawing it?
Yeah, we'll draw a grid and make sure it's proportionate to the actual image of the QR code.
Because that's all it is. It's sort of a checkerboard grid or a somewhat
complicated.
It's like a paint by number kind of dealio.
Yeah, it's black and white. But yeah,
okay.
It's just, it's more complicated than a checkerboard, but it is basically squares all next to each other.
I guess that's what I meant. Yeah, it's a it's a grid of squares and because sometimes QR codes, they even have them now that look more less like the squares. It's like they're superimposing something on top of it. I think that's still reading the square side of it, but that's a neat idea. I didn't realize you can do it.
Yeah, it's so great though. Like in Florida, I think we kind of touched on this, but we have a bike trail that runs for miles. One of the local artists down there, he was getting sick of just seeing all these dilapidated fences and stuff, right?
Cool.
So what he started doing is he would have somebody pay a certain amount and he would buy a piece of fence. Mm-hmm. He got permission from the people who owned the fence. You know, it was on their property line. Cool. But they would say what they want painted. They would send a picture in or, you know, if they wanted a pop star or something. Mm-hmm. And he would, he has the same style that he does all the time. It almost looks like a paint by number kind of.
Yeah.
It's a certain style.
But letting other people do it. Yeah.
And then he put it up. And so the whole bike trail is lined with this. So
that's cool.
And you got little photo ops. Like when you're driving down, there's like that's butterfly wings or angel wings. And and it's all down the trail. So, it's this beautiful experience. And some of it is messages to people of you know, somebody that's passed away or just a inspiring quote or just something cool.
A lot of it's celebrities too. It's like I know I'm always like, Heisenberg's out here somewhere. So I'm always trying to find that.
That's weird.
And you're always finding something new because so much is being added all the time. So it's really cool. We'll have to show you a picture of it before we.
Yeah, a lot of them are like scenes from shows or movies. So the Scarface, I know I'm saying Heisenberg is one I'm always looking for, but it's neat because he's guiding people on how to kind of do it and beautifying the area at the same time.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe to bring it back to your stuff, when you're biking along that bike trail and it's the same old thing and it's like old chain link fences and it's a pretty area, but some of it's, you know, and then when you get to the art spot, it's really fun because you got, you know, a mile or a half a mile of all this beautiful art. So it really spruces up the space. Yeah, it's very cool. Very cool.
It's like the rural version of what I do in cities as I look at a city and think of it as a palette or a, you know, a canvas that needs to be painted.
Well, you know, I don't have much experience in my own life because I come from not a small town, but not like a big city. Mm-hmm. But I know like in the movies and video games and stuff, there's these big painted murals on the side of buildings in like New York and Chicago or whatever. Is that some of the stuff that you've been able to do? Have you been able to go into like a city and paint? And
for sure. You know, it's always planned. So it's more of a project that's been organized.
Of course.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I don't want to talk about the days of wild painting that wasn't, you know, authorized. But that happened as well.
Sometimes those are great.
Yeah.
You know, that's where like you discover there's, wow, this person better be painting somewhere else, because this is really good stuff. Yeah. You know, they had to have a big canvas.
You also probably sharpen your skills doing that too, though, because you got to know by the time you get commissioned, you can't get out there and go, "Oh wow, I've never painted on this kind of surface. This isn't working." Yeah,
you got to be ready. Yeah, I mean, if you're getting, you know, if you're getting paid from a company, you can't just, you know. You definitely can't fake it out there.
No, real I would say that might be, it's not going to work for you. You're definitely not getting a paycheck when they see that. So I thought I heard you touch earlier a little bit on set design.
Yeah, actually I have a degree in set design for film and TV. So with Carolina School of the Arts, shout out. So yeah, that's a whole career path that's taking me around the world as well.
We saw some of that on your social media too. Remember I showed you there was, I don't remember which picture it was. Oh, I wish I could remember.
Hollywood.
It was something about being back at a studio or something.
Okay. Well, I worked in studios in LA and Sydney and Australia and Gold Coast. So there's a few films I've worked on.
Oh, that's awesome. Clearly. So what is set design though? Is it like, are you painting... backdrop?
No, the set design is like an architect planning a building or a house, you know, using drafting table and traditional, you know, measurement tools, just drawing, taking a sketch and planning out a ground plan and elevations.
Yeah.
And what the physical room or building or
seems
set will
a little
look
more
like.
Structured than what you will like, Glenn.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of right angles involved.
Yeah.
So, usually. Okay.
I think I work in the architecture and engineering world, but I think I know what you're saying. So you're basically drawing out what they're going to physically do in the real world when they get there. You're drawing a sort of a floor plan or instructions for what they're going to do when they really set up. And then
those things have to move and shift,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, often,
And it's all, I would assume, too, you're doing, like, color palettes and showing them the way the light's going to come in and all that kind of stuff. That's neat.
Do, like, a rendering.
So
it says show what the scene would look like.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's almost like storyboarding in a way.
Similar.
That's cool. Similar. It's very cool stuff. Yeah, your work is impressive. It's amazing. And I can't wait to see some of it in real life.
I know. Because it's even better when you see it.
Yeah. I'm excited to be here.
That. So tell everybody where they can find you.
All right. I do have a website. It's www.superwetpaint.com, I believe it is.
Love the name.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, I'll tell you what that's all about. Painting in Seattle year round, outdoors.
Never dries.
Yeah, rainy.
My work is supersized. It's wet. And, well, it's usually made of paint.
Yeah.
That's how that came up being.
That's pretty great, though. I mean, it kind of says it all for that, environment.
You know, it's good for you to have that kind of experience, though, because if you're only ever in one environment, that's an unexpected surprise, I'm sure, with your education and your art background. But even us here, living in Florida, then we came and, like, painted some chairs, and I'm like, oh, they're done by now, three days later.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Nobody's sitting on those right now.
In the Florida sun, I'm used to it being like an hour where you can just move it, you know. But I get where your name came
but
from.
But I would definitely encourage everybody to check out your Instagram, which is just Super Wet Paint.
Yeah.
You just add Super Wet Paint, and you can really see the whole portfolio there. Yeah. I'm sure it's not even the whole portfolio.
It's
not happening.
Some of the good stuff.
We'll put a link in the show notes too, directly to your Instagram and to your website. And thanks for coming out. This has been really cool, educational, and nice to meet you. And can't wait to see your stuff in person.
Appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah,
thanks
and
so
shout out to all those small towns who want to get a little facelift. That's what I mean? And draw some more peeps into the town. There we go.
Right.
Get it on.
Now when we see a mural, we're going to go, I wonder if that's Glenn's.
Yeah. I bet it is. I'm going on his Instagram to look right now.
Thank
you so much for being our second guest in the podcast studio.
Yeah, yes. Thank you,
Glenn. Thank you.
And guys, thank you so much for each and every week that you tune in and listen to us. If you're new to the show, once again, we thank you so much. Remember, at the end of each and every day,
it's all fine and dandy.
Hi guys, we hope you enjoyed the show today. If you did, we would love a review. So make sure to head over to your Apple Podcast app or whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us a 5-star review. Also, give us a like and a follow on our social media. You can find that all under Fine and Dangy. And if you want to find out more about our guest or about us, head over to fineanddangy.com.